With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Have the communist vegans at the BBC destroyed your faith in humanity? Are you worried that watching too much football has made you racist? Why not take your mind off of society's ills by getting some culture? The Football Ramble have teamed up with audible.co.uk to bring you an audiobook of your choice for free. Sign up for a free one-month trial with no obligation to continue and claim your audiobook now by visiting audible.co.uk/footballramble.
Sexy in a way.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, can't you smell the pheromones? It's the Football Ramble, and I'm Marcus, and I've got Jim with me.
Hello.
Pete.
Luke's dead.
And Luke's back.
Luke's dead.
From the dead.
All right.
Oh, it's good to have you with us.
Thank you very much.
As we know, three's company, but four's a ramble.
It is.
Nice too.
Four's a ramble, although three was a bloody good ramble last week. So you better slot in, pal.
Disagree.
It was a front three, now it's a front four. Right, the Premier League has struck a deal to show their matches on planes and boats.
On any boat?
Well, particular airlines, okay, and particular cruise liners. But if you could watch a Premier League match anywhere in the world, where would you choose? And which game would it be, Jim?
I travel around quite a lot, doing what I do. So I quite often think about what it would be like if I had a jetpack.
Right.
So if I could watch a game anywhere, I'd just be sort of hovering above it, just sort of kind of involving the game, but not enough that I'd ever sort of, you know, influence it. Just sort of hovering above the game, kind of getting involved, seeing it from the players' point of view if they were having out of body experiences.
It's quite a nice time.
Yeah, I like that. So you've thrown me it's with just your like creativity.
It's just like buying a ticket for a seat, but really high up.
Yeah, and you probably wouldn't need a ticket.
No, you definitely wouldn't. They weren't going to stop you. Yeah, they weren't going to stop you.
No one ever can stop
you. Although I don't think you're allowed to fly over London in a single-engined plane.
Why do you know that? It's terrifying that you've looked into that.
Because my friend's a pilot, and he told me, I'm pretty sure that if you can only fly over Air London in a single-engined plane in emergencies, and even then you're instructed to follow the Thames.
Yeah, but no one's going to stop you,
Jim. Yeah. They are real things, aren't they, jetpacks? Yeah. Matt Bellamy from Muse has got one, which shows how wrong the world is.
They had them in that. I think someone entered the opening ceremony of Los Angeles Olympics in 84 on a jetpack.
Is that right?
I think we've gone backwards since then. Anything?
Yeah. I would.
They're doing water now. The water pressure ones. They look pretty fancy.
But I'd imagine one of those fan ones. You remember in The Simpsons?
I would see one of them. That hasn't got an engine, so maybe I'd use that.
Exactly.
Then I wouldn't be like flouting any laws.
Yeah, because you can't even drive anyway.
Exactly. So. I can barely walk.
There's the loophole that we've been searching for, Pete.
I sort of misheard what you said earlier on, and I had the words Rob Green and remote control in my head, so that's not helpful at the moment. But what I'm going to go for is, you know, Felix Baumgartner's big old capsule floating above Earth.
Yeah,
I'd have that. I'd watch like a really crappy, like, I don't know, Stoke City or whatever, like not a very good match, and then I could do like the biggest football flounce by going, oh, I'm not watching this anymore, and just jump.
Oh, I see.
And it would be the ultimate sort of like, oh, sod this. Sod the Premier League, and then so, you just jump out the window.
So they're quite sort of airborne answers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, though, if you came back to Earth, did your press conference a la Baumgartner, and when they asked you the question of what you did up there, and you said, watch Stoke City away, it wouldn't be as sort of, as inspiring or poignant.
Or you could land on Stoke and go, stop this.
That would be, no, but they're away.
Yeah,
you could land at Stoke.
Oh, you for a home game, you mean?
Yeah.
I like, well,
that's not the major problem with this,
isn't it? No,
I think in a way,
I don't think I'd get sponsorship for it.
Although, if you had jumped all the way from up there, and got the wrong stadium, you would be annoyed.
I think if you did that, it would ruin his achievement. It would be considered a failure.
Yeah, and rightly so.
In summary, Rob Green, television remote control.
Round Rob Green's house would have been better.
Round Rob Green's house. All right, round Rob Green's house.
Okay, yeah. Locals.
I thought I'd go for watching a Chelsea game, any Chelsea game.
Any Chelsea.
On Abramovich's yacht with Abramovich.
Yeah.
Just saying, you happy with what you've done there? You like that?
It'd be good, you could get like a sort of plastic dart gun and just fire it at the TV and go, get rid of him.
Yeah, get rid of him.
Blame this guy.
Yeah. You could also ban that fan.
I'd get one of those things you had at junior school, you had this sort of back and forward little paper things on your fingers to decide which your next girlfriend was going to be. And I'd put the names of Chelsea players on it and get him to choose them. And if he picked one, they'd have to be immediately killed.
It would be impossible because every like 5 minutes during the game, he'd like remove his plasma telly and get a new one in, the bigger one. Yeah.
Yeah. Are you not also in danger of James Bond turning up and just like shooting you as a henchman?
I think it's far more likely that Avram Grant would turn up.
Yeah.
And you'd like to meet Uncle Avi, wouldn't you?
Again, yeah.
Although he might not be alone.
Last time I saw him was coming out of that brothel.
Allegedly.
In his full tracksuit.
Not even allegedly.
Luke was definitely there. He was definitely
Luke was the masseuse.
In a full Portsmouth tracksuit.
Yeah, super. I'd probably go around Richard Scudamore's house, or the home of the Premier League, as I like to.
He'd have every game on every screen.
Yeah.
Choose which one you want, mate.
And all the player cams. Absolutely. Yeah. There's nothing that wouldn't get past.
Isn't that in the new home of the Match of the Day and indeed the Premier League commentary in Manchester,
okay.
Where it's on the ground floor, so like the local chavs just turn up and like look through the window and watch the matches live.
Ah, so it's almost like a market equivalent of just watching it through Dixon's window.
You can watch any Barclays Premier League match.
I watched the whole of the, was it the 1991 Scottish Cup final?
Through a long lens.
To be fair, it was in the shop. And the bastard went to extra time as well. It was magnificent. It was 4-3. Motherwell beat Dundee United 4-3. It was a brilliant game.
Did you turn around and go, you are not closing up now?
Did you start going over like CD players and go, oh, great action, like Alan Partridge? The action.
Not this telly. Can I have a look at the other one next to it?
Excuse me, sir. We're about to close up now. This is the well. This is the well.
Exactly. Yeah. That's Darren Jackson up for Dundee United.
Yeah. I'll tell you when you're closing up.
Who won the points? Jim's idea. Oh. With the sort of rocket pack, or whatever the hell you said.
Cheers, mate.
You've never sounded so old.
Rocket man.
50s
you,
man.
You and your rocket packs.
You and your crazy ideas. Well, let's go to the Premier League itself. Excuse me. And it was West Ham United 3, Chelsea 1. Rafa Benitez is not having the best of starts, is he, Jim?
No, he really, really isn't, is he?
He's having the worst of starts, if I may venture.
Well, they've only scored one goal, haven't they?
But what a goal
almost
it was.
Couldn't be worse for Chelsea at the moment. It's absolutely ridiculous, but I don't think the fans' reaction to Benitez is helping, obviously. It's just put so much pressure on the team and on the manager. And
do you think he needs a helping hand?
I think he does need a helping hand, yeah, by some made-up tabloid rumour that somehow won't go away.
It is a bit lazy, isn't it? Obviously, Avram Grant was linked, apparently, but there wasn't a quote in sight. The only quote was from a Chelsea spokesman, who said there is no truth in reports that Avram Grant will be returning to the club.
Immediately lending credence to the claims, which have just been ignored.
Exactly.
That quote has still been in things claiming it's going to happen, though.
Yeah, I suppose so, yeah. It's like going home to your girlfriend. What have you been up to? Not sleeping with another girl? The alarm bells are going to start ringing. just say nothing.
No. Like, on the back of, like, I think it was the Sun this morning, was just kind of like, oh, he's got no idea, he's useless, blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking, how many times has, you know, Benitez been linked with the job for the past, like, 2 years? It's been ridiculous. Like, he sells newspapers, but then when he's in an actual job that they can talk about
him.
When he's actually in a job where they actually talk about him, they want him out. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's a shame, isn't it?
I think he seems like a nice chap.
Well, Benitez.
And I think he's a good manager.
I think he's a good manager.
Makes
two of us.
I'm not necessarily saying he's a good fit for Chelsea, because I think it's strange because he said, I mean, the Inter job was the wrong job for him, and then since then he's really said he wants a project, and this isn't a project.
No,
he's already been told he's not going to be there for very long, and he can't do anything in that
time. What Benitez also had said prior to this appointment was that he was waiting for an opportunity to manage at an elite level, and it's not really come along. I mean, you've got to take that gamble, I suppose. You know, you've got to back yourself, if you want to succeed at the very top of your profession. But I think, you know, if this continues to go as badly as it's going, but he's going to have to accept that he's going to have to sort of rebuild his reputation. You know, that's not many managers would do that, you know, just, you know, do very, very badly at a club as big as Inter and just go, no, no, I'm only taking a top-level job.
Yeah.
Like, he's taken a bit of a gamble there, taking a couple of years out. So
I think that the problem with his job at Inter was that he came at such a point post-Mourinho where everything had reached its very peak and the only way was down. And obviously he...
Anybody would have struggled after Mourinho there.
I think so, yeah. And which is why, I mean, Jim, in a way you're sort of echoing my point, which is I don't understand why he took the job. I mean, he knows it's a short term thing. Mm. He knows the only way to go is down. He's taken over another set of European champions who aren't as good this season for a number of different reasons.
But as Jim says, maybe he thought, maybe he's been watching Chelsea and thought, I can improve that there. Obviously, the Torres link has been well talked about. But, I mean, he seems to... Well, he lives in England. He seems to like England and want to manage here. The job like Chelsea comes out, they say, like 6 months, and he probably thinks, I can't really lose, can I? If it goes badly, oh well.
Mm. It's a shop window for him, isn't it?
But you said if he does go wrong, he's going to have to rebuild his reputation. Well, do you not agree with that much?
How many times have we seen managers, you know, fail and then suddenly go on to something?
But you'd expect him to start a little bit more brightly than he has. I think that's the issue.
Well,
there,
he's come up with a couple of different theories as to why. I mean, the two main theories I've seen as to why Chelsea are underperforming are lack of confidence, and Benitez has suggested there's a lack of fitness at the club as well, which both seem strange to me. I mean, if you look at the West Ham game, Chelsea were you could see where the confidence argument comes from, because West Ham were poor in the first half and Chelsea should have gone beyond out of sight really, and should have sealed the game. They didn't do that, and then West Ham rallied quite well, so it shows that Chelsea are quite fragile. You know, I do have quite fragile confidence, but if you look at the spine of the team traditionally over the few years,
it's been strong.
It's been Drogba, Lampard, Terry, and Cech.
That's right, yeah.
And all three of those outfield players, Lampard and Terry, have been in and out for injury and other things.
But not really. Lampard's played a lot of. I thought you were talking about in the past seasons.
No, I mean this season.
Right, sorry. Yeah.
Well, this is part of the issue, isn't it? They're a new team, even by sort of, you know, the Chelsea sort of set up standard. They're still getting to know each other as a team, like regardless of who the manager is, and Benitez has to come in not knowing any of them. It's going to be a muddle for a bit, isn't it? I mean, a 0-0 draw against City isn't as bad as made out. They're the champions, but subsequent results have been poor. But you know, you can't really judge Benitez on this yet.
Clearly, there needs to be a team building event of sorts.
Yeah, I suggest
maybe they should have some sort of football match.
Away from the cameras, from the Premier League.
We're not playing this weekend. It's a team building exercise to see how much we like each other.
Or training, as we like to call it. Just do some training, lads.
Yeah,
it would be good.
Because we have the chance of a game behind closed doors because of that John Terry thing. We'll have that. We'll do that.
Can we?
What's that, John Obi? Can you see what John Terry think? No, you can't see what John Terry think. I'm telling you what to do.
West Ham. It wasn't a team building event, but they all went out, didn't they?
In a strange white suit
a few months ago. Andy Carroll eye gouged a cameraman, allegedly. Not a cameraman, a photographer.
Paparazzi, yeah. Poor innocent paparazzi who's so upset by it.
I read that story.
Just doing his leech-like job.
Yeah, I read that story. He saw the picture of the cameraman and ended up siding with Andy Carroll.
Yeah, it's one of those proper tabloid sort of looking sad
horrible
down the
bloke.
Camera.
I don't know him. You know, he may well be a loving family man, but he had a horrible piggy eyes.
Mm. Well, now he does.
that's unfair. He had horrible piggy eyes. He was a bit like a poor example of a human.
And it wasn't.
You're just describing Diego Maradona there, really.
Oh, sorry, was it the other weekend?
Yeah.
Forgive me. I thought the months must have been a bit warmer to wear white suits.
No, with Andy Carroll, you've got to go by.
It's not autumn wear, Jim.
It's not anywhere.
It's not human wear.
With Andy Carroll, players like Andy Carroll, you've got to like, go on court dates. You go, this was starting ages ago if he's in court for it now.
That's very true.
You shouldn't wear a white suit unless you are A, an ice cream salesman, or B, man from Del Monte.
A member of the Liverpool 1996, etc.
If you're dead, maybe.
Member of the Polyphonic Spree.
Yeah, that's another one. Yeah.
That's more of a sort of, you know...
Smog.
Smog.
Yeah. But did you see Gary Neville's analysis of Fernando Torres on Monday Night Football?
Yeah, very good.
Quite interesting.
Very interesting.
He's going to have to reinvent himself, and there's lots of parts of his game he could be doing better, like holding the ball up and stuff like that.
But he also said...
I get the impression with Torres he just doesn't want to do that.
But he also pointed out a lot that that his teammates aren't really passing him the ball that much. And Torres is making the runs, and they're not using him. And then Torres, you can see his body language, he gets a bit fed up, and all doesn't seem too harmonious there.
Do you think he just needs a move then, do you?
I honestly don't know with Torres. I mean, he seems to be, he's got a good club where you imagine he would get chances, although have they stopped passing the ball to him because he's fluffed a few You know, is it the chicken or the egg, Peter, is what I'm saying there.
Well, I play up front quite a lot for my Sunday league, and I can say that I don't get a lot of passes.
And you scored a great goal, didn't you?
We didn't
mention this last week.
No, because it has nothing to do with any of
the I looked through Premier League, La Liga, and I didn't know where to put it in. 25 yard volley into the top corner, Pete Donaldson.
Thank you very much.
Fernando Torres, Pete's door's always open.
Soccer school.
If you want advice on how to be a degenerate North Easterner.
I'm only joking.
Come off.
At least I turned up.
So, the obvious rumour that's going to happen in January is Falcao Torres swap deal, right?
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah.
It would be. Yeah.
His last move's kind of priced him out of any other move, though. It seems a lot of money spunk on one misfound striker.
Is it going to get to the point where Chelsea just have to take a loss on him?
Well, they're never going to get a profit on him.
Shovels, isn't it?
They're not going to get near 50 million.
But they'll either let him run his contract out, or they try and sell him. There's no way he can stay long term. I don't think, because he's not performing at that level.
Falcao, they would probably put something ridiculous like 60 million on his head.
They'd want money on him.
Yes, they'd want big money. I mean, I reckon they'd probably want 25 million plus,
if not more.
I read a nice fact about the "We Want Our Chelsea Back" chart at Stamford Bridge. I forget who wrote it. I did try and find it, but I couldn't. Basically, Roman Abramovich has put Roman Abramovich has put roughly £1 billion into Chelsea. So, if every member of the crowd at Stamford Bridge did in fact want their Chelsea back, they need to stump up about £23,900 each. So, get your hands in your pockets.
Yeah. That's a lot of extra fares you've got to be running.
Yeah, exactly.
But what about West Ham United? Let's not take anything away.
Well, in the second half, they were magnificent. They really were. They worked ever so hard.
One of my favourite sights in football is when West Ham are absolutely bossing it at home and the bubbles come out. It's just brilliant.
It's quite good, isn't it? Diarmi had a great game, didn't he?
Yeah,
he's been really superb.
That was a great sign.
I think Allardyce has gotten well drilled. They know, in a way, they were the polar opposite to Chelsea. They knew exactly what roles they were performing. They knew what style they were playing. They knew that they did certain things and they hassled Chelsea in a certain way, they would get a positive result. And like I say, the first half they were poor, but in the second half they're absolutely superb. They're all over the place.
They seem to clicking in now, West Ham, really, haven't they?
Well, they're the perfect side to exploit anyone with any sort of fragility in the way that Chelsea have, you know, because they're just so robust. You know,
they've got players that know their positions. I think that's the main difference of a lot of teams. And then you've got like kind of sort of midfielders, stroke kind of false nine kind of guys, like Kevin Nolan playing that sort of weird role where he just score from wherever he is. It's kind of like, it's weird.
I think before the game, Allardyce would just probably say to Kevin Nolan, be effective.
I think Allardyce was like, get at him. They're under
pressure. Oh, I think so, yeah.
And Allardyce hates Benitez as well, doesn't he? So he's probably
Kevin Nolan's one of those players where, you know, he's not particularly pacey, he's not particularly skillful, he's not a dribbler.
Put your finger on what he does.
Yeah, he knows how to finish. I think that's
the right place, right?
He's got a quick football brain.
Yeah, exactly. His decision making is superb.
His positioning's excellent as well.
Yeah, because you think of his shooting, I mean, his heading's okay. Well, you wouldn't say it was particularly exceptional, but it is that decision making.
I don't know, he's a good header of the ball.
Yeah,
a strong neck.
Okay. Yeah, maybe I'm a bit
harsh. I think Matt Jarvis has been a very good signing for West Ham as well.
There you go. Elsewhere in London, Arsenal lost at home to Swansea 2-0. With a brace. Oh, Jim.
Yeah, it was poor. Really poor. I mean, the worst performance at home I can remember. Noticeable empty seats everywhere as well. It's not happy times at Arsenal at the moment. Like Wenger's saying that the players are tired, and that's a worry coming into, you know, what is the busiest period of the season. But it's because the squad's not deep enough. You know, he's having to play the same players over and over again. Like Mikel Arteta is 30, 31. Playing every week. What particularly kind of I found annoying was for the second goal, Tomasz Rosicki bombing down the pitch to get to Mitrović and then just sort of slacking off.
I wonder if
because he's had an injury, he's sort of a bit kind of cautious or whatnot, but it's just no rhythm, no sort of, you know, kind of connection between the players at the moment. It's poor.
I thought Szczesny was a bit poor for the goals, to be honest. I thought in the first goal
he had a great game up to then.
Yeah. He went down really early for the first goal, and the second goal he left his near post about 3 feet open. I thought that was a bit silly, really. It's almost like he gave up.
It just seems to Arsenal every season you think, right, they've gelled a bit more, they've got a couple of new faces, and every season they just,
in November, they fall apart.
Yeah, and they
and
just
have to
get
make up the ground.
Just get a little bit worse and a little bit worse, and you, is this the season they finally don't make the Champions League?
This is their worst start under Wenger.
I tell you why else it's a little bit worrying for Wenger, is because in the past people have always said around this sort of time of the season when it happens, as you just touched on, he needs to put his hand in his pocket in January, he needs to sign, and this time he has signed players, he has spent money, he spent decent money on quite a few players. You know, I mean, players like Cazorla cost money. I know he's done well. Jovinho cost money. Podolski cost money. Giroud cost money. All these players are reasonably experienced and, you know, reasonably good wages and
there's
transfer
fees. Sort of youth excuse anymore.
No. So I don't know what's going to happen, really. Arsenal fans have been singing, we want our Arsenal back as well. And if you couple that in with Man United fans also being very annoyed, you wonder if we're going to reach a sort of a tipping point in terms of fan involvement in clubs
because
they're getting so annoyed.
It's most teams now, it seems like, have some sort of foreign owners. And it's it is certainly...
But when it's clubs like Chelsea, Arsenal and Manchester United, you know, get on the EU crybaby mountain. It's just like...
it's a good mountain.
Boo-hoo, we're top four almost every season.
Whereas Swansea, fan-owned club.
Yeah, but I think it depends what
you've got to talk about how good they were.
Yeah,
well. You
know, they were absolutely super. Michu again.
Arsenal at their own game.
Yeah.
Michu's like, what, 2 million?
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. What a player he is.
Yeah. We saw him score goals last season in Spain, didn't we? Yeah. We saw him play well. I didn't know he would make quite such a good adjustment to English football straight away.
I mean, what his coolness, the first goal that he scored against Arsenal, he slotted through, it's the last 2 minutes, you're at the Emirates, all the rest
casually
of it.
Casually opened his body
just
up.
Just beautiful.
Yeah.
Absolutely beautiful. And I mean, Swansea are having a great time and you know, we said at the start of the season, they had a couple of sloppy results, can they get going again? Well, bloody hell. They're away, aren't they?
Another, just to briefly go back to Arsenal, another concern for me is that they're in the Champions League tonight, got the final group game, and they're taking very, very young squad out there, almost as if to say, well, if we don't win the group, it's not that much of a problem. We've seen what happens when Arsenal don't win the group. They get Barcelona and they get humped.
That's true.
And no one likes that.
And they've got West.
Who does quite like
that. They've got West Brom. Well, I think the Barca matches kind of bring the best out of the Arsenal.
In one leg, yes, they do.
But like, but they have got West Brom at the weekend who are flying high, so it's just like.
Well, West Brom had a couple of bad results, but yeah,
I'd back West Brom for that all day at the moment.
Yeah.
I know, I don't want to be too harsh on Arsenal, but I mean, I know.
Eight points on them, or something? Fifth?
Yeah.
Gordon Bennett.
Dodgy. I mean, the one thing is Arsenal got a new sponsorship deal with Emirates, which has gone right up. So that's an extra £25 million a season, but is Wenger going to spend that?
Into the bank.
One of the things I've heard sort of touted is that when Wenger first came to England, he was obviously miles ahead of his time and really you know, forward thinking, and everyone was like, whoa, blown away by it, and he had a lot of success and now what's happened is everyone's just caught up and he's got no other new ideas and new options and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of managers from abroad in the Premier League now, and it's
ruining our game, isn't it?
Yeah,
we want our league back
good.
Yeah,
that 25 million is just going to go straight to Theo Walcott's new contract. Just write out the cheque to Theodore.
Yeah. And in signing it, just as he crosses the T's, he'll pull a hamstring.
Yeah,
he'll tear a thigh muscle. Oh dear.
There were goals at Reading when they were at home to Manchester United. There were seven
of
them. All in the first half.
All in the first 34 minutes.
It always happens, doesn't it?
It was a goal wrongly disallowed as well.
Yeah, it could have been eight, is what you're saying, Jim. I felt sorry for Rafael, the Brazilian fullback, brought off after 30 minutes.
Got the hook. He looked like he was going to cry, didn't he?
He did, yeah. And I thought, it's a little wonder because he was getting a little bit of a roasting and he'd already been booked, and he could have been booked in a tackle before that.
Yeah.
And he was having a torrid time. But the trouble was, though, it was about 15 minutes before the end of the half. Mm. And a lot could happen in that time. You lose a goal, he gets sent off. And I think if it was 5 minutes, maybe you see it out, and Ferguson said, no, you're coming off. And it's always so disheartening for a player. And
at least he was on a yellow.
I'm just disappointed.
Yeah.
But at least like it wasn't just a decision to his, you know, apprentice for that actual game. He was on a yellow card, so it's kind of like, well, you know, you could have been sent off. And if it was just that he was absolute nonsense.
True.
It's like Di Canio bringing off the keeper, you know. It's like,
oh yeah. Yeah. The thing was that you wonder, you really fear for United, because obviously their ambitions to win the Premier League and to make at least a decent dent on the latter stage of the Champions League.
They're not going to go anywhere in Europe defending like that
at the back for set pieces. It was absolute chaos. You got Jason Roberts, who's essentially a Championship striker. No disrespect to him, but he's a Championship striker. He can't score consistently in the top flight. He's almost 35 years old. He tore them to pieces at set pieces.
You know, but really basic stuff.
Yeah,
just sort of stand by the goalkeeper.
Yeah,
as if they'd never seen that before.
Lindegaard really didn't stamp his authority on anything.
No, he never. Lindegaard's older than I thought. He's like late 20s.
He's older than De Gea for sure.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. I thought he
was younger than that.
As did I. This is an interesting one concerning one of Manchester United's players, Javier Hernandez. Apparently, he's loved by the police force in Mexico City. This is because
he's not a member of a drug cartel.
Exactly. Yeah. Anyone with a passport who isn't is absolutely enough.
He just fires shotguns in the air.
Well, he does, but they're just not over there, really. Quite frankly, this is because there's an odd dip in crime when he's playing football. According to police in Mexico City reports, according to police in Mexico City, reported incidents drop when he's playing football on the television.
I mean, Hernandez is largely a sub, so they are going on like 20-minute kind of periods.
Yeah. They know he's there's in the so sport. Much crime, you can actually, you know, you almost opt to stats it.
I don't think everyone's outside beating each other up and whatnot, and someone shouts, "He's on! All right,
yeah. Hernandez!" Yeah.
Yeah. It's like in, is it the Philippines where Pacquiao's from, the boxer?
Yeah. Mm.
Apparently, like the sort of it's not civil war there or anything like that, but there's some pretty serious situations going on. And when he fights, the whole country sort of ceasefire.
Yeah, there's a talk of it to his estate where he sort of lives when he's in the Philippines. Apparently there's a 24-hour constant stream of people queuing outside to get money off him and stuff.
Is that right?
Because he just gives so much money away. But the you can imagine the Mexico
I've got
City
his phone number.
Yeah, you have. Yeah, I have. That's another story. Yeah.
It's a queue jumper. Right.
Money.
You can just imagine the shop owners in like Mexico City. He's on. Open the shop up.
Yeah.
He's starting this.
What's that? He's injured and out for 6 weeks. Ah, fuck. Back down that. Just also though, it's not just the crime rates grow up, but apparently the birth rates go up as well.
All right,
yeah,
that is in.
They bloody love him.
Hot diggity dog.
Yeah. Yeah. People get excited.
That is some effective rutting.
Parts of the population get excited. Parts of the population obviously get quite calm about it. It's a strange. I don't know how that works, but that's what the Mexican police force say in Mexico City.
And you can't trust them. Yeah, you can't trust them.
Right, let's come all the way back to England and still in the Premier League, where Queen's Park Rangers drew 1-1 with Aston Villa. Harry Redknapp's picked up a couple of points, but it was much better from QPR. Do you not think?
Yeah, they came. Clint Hill came within a whisper of scoring his first Premier League goal.
Cleared
up a line.
Friend of the ramble, Clint Hill.
Yeah.
But they looked much more up for it. The ground was buzzing a bit more. I mean, I know a new manager can sometimes
do that.
They did,
but I really felt that they needed to win that.
Yeah.
To get the momentum going.
Got to get that way.
Oi, there's always next week.
Exactly. But when you get to May and you're saying that,
No. I think we had the average that you got to have 1.3 points a match. That must have gone up by now. 1.6.
Yeah. But I do think they've got a chance because they're going to do some business in January. He'll
definitely. They're doing business now, allegedly.
Redknapp will rebalance the squad though, for all his faults, he's probably the best man for this job.
Absolutely.
And I think they've got a reasonable chance of staying up. I really do.
Mm.
Really?
I think it's a huge
job. The last team that were in as dire a situation as this was Swindon.
I read that,
possibly the inaugural season of the Premier League, and they went down.
But I happen to think that the bottom half of the Premier League is a lot closer now.
Mm.
You know, you've got the bottom five or six teams. There's not. I don't think there's that much between them. I think QPR have been unlucky.
But they need, as you said, they needed to win that match. They need to win matches like that, and you know, slightly better
soon.
Opposition.
Yeah. I mean, the other way of looking at it is there's 7 points off safety, and there's about there's loads of points they have to play for. There's like 60 points they have to play for or something. Mm. So you know, they've got plenty.
One of the strange things about it is, well, we've touched on some of the sort of their older players like Cissé and Sean Wright Phillips saying that looks a good team on paper, but are these players past it? Looking as well at players like Junior Hoylett, who's just been really ineffective. It's he's still young. He's excellent at Blackburn in a struggling team.
Listen, from what I've heard, Hughes was an absolute disaster. A disaster. Mm. You know, no hardly any relationship with some of the players. You know, it was just a nightmare from start to finish. And I whilst I can see that some of those players probably are a bit overrated, and when you get into that position, you often find, I'm just speaking as a fan, if your team gets in that position and you go and watch them every week, you do tend to find out who the characters are and who aren't, who disappears and who steps up to the plate. And players like you've mentioned, obviously haven't been stepping up to the plate, but then they've got Redknapp in now who will instill a lot of confidence in them.
It does upset me that Sean Wright Phillips is regarded as being over the hill. So, we're getting old, aren't we?
How old's your shoulder now? He must be in the 30s.
31.
Yeah, God, still a prospect.
I love how people think Sean Wright Phillips is young just because he's small.
But that means he'll always be young. Like Gary Coleman.
It was Ian Wright.
The perfect
Warwick Davis.
He is the Gary Coleman of football.
Yeah.
But he's Ian Wright's kid, so it's kind of like,
oh, there's that as well.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Even Bradley.
They need a youthful player like Jody Morris to come in.
That's right.
But it's true though. You think Zola could still do a job?
Exactly. He can't be that old.
Yeah, that's true.
How big he's not. Talking about QPR, Villa are right down there as well.
They are
struggling. Mm-hmm. It's not quite working under Lambert.
No, it's a funny one with Villa. But they go through these periods, don't they?
They do.
They've got a very young side. And I think very that young. Is, and that a little bit too young. And, you know.
Where would they be without Benteke's goals, though? You've got to look at that.
Possibly have Darren Bent. Weirdly, like that's yeah. the...
Benteke. I suppose so, yeah.
But everyone complains about Bent not playing, but he's not performed for quite a few matches.
And
now.
He's had injury problems. As well.
Yeah, he's constantly injured. He's not happy at all. And Benteke looks like a bloody beast for crying out loud.
Yeah.
Who would you rather face? Yeah. Like Darren Bent in the form that he's in, or fucking Benteke?
You can hardly say that they're not scoring goals in their centre forward because he's the only one who really is. But I mean, they're not doing too badly. But like you say, they're inexperienced. They've got a young side. So I mean, I'll probably not get relegated. I don't think they'll go down.
They'll probably not get relegated.
Yeah, and that's all they want.
A job well done.
Yeah. Maybe that girl from X Factor can do one of those songs again.
Because did you see Sunderland on Sunday? Grant Holt had Rose in his pocket, like you won't believe. I'm like, how many years has he got on him? Jesus.
Yeah. He's twice the size of him.
Yeah, a bit of experience.
Ridiculous.
Though. Before we move to the championship, do we want to talk about West Brom's Liam Ridgewell wiping his backside with a wad of £20 notes?
I think we already are, aren't we?
Yeah. by that.
I like the way the statement release said it was taking the privacy of his own home. That's the minimum I expect. Yeah. You should not be doing that in public.
It was at a wake.
Yeah. It was taken 8 months ago.
Oh, fine. Well. Yeah. That was when money wasn't worth it.
No, that's right. Yeah. So. Before the crash. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was to wind up a mate who he just wanted a personal.
It was in 1930 Germany during the time of hyperinflation. It was worth about 10p.
It was in Argentina
that was
after the Second World War. The president handed it to me.
Yeah.
As he did to everybody else.
The barrels are worth more than the money.
Yeah.
Oh dear. Right.
Similar joke.
Good. We're all done. I think I got the points there. Championship, where Cardiff got the points in the game against Sheffield Wednesday. They remain top with 41 points. Is this going to be the
no,
year?
No, it's never going to be the year. No. Never.
Okay, stop trying so hard, Cardiff. You're wasting everybody's time.
Come on, Malky, you're not fooling anyone.
The Redbirds.
The Redbirds.
Yeah. Weird that, isn't it? It's still weird seeing them playing in
it's
red.
Statistically luckier. So you get over it, yeah.
Maybe. But wouldn't it be funny though if they brought that in and they go up and they'll be like, well,
yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
Poor Lairs.
Crystal Palace though, they beat Brighton. Ian Holloway's men right behind Cardiff on 40 points.
That was the big one, the big derby.
It's a funny derby, that one, isn't it?
Wasn't very funny for Brighton.
It never is.
Big Dunko got sent off after about 2 minutes, didn't he? Absolutely appalling piece of play as well. Really regulation pass comes to him, he miscontrols it, the striker dips in, just brutally chops him down. He knows what he's done.
Yeah. I love the championship because you do get those kind of Sunday league moments, but you do get some real quality as well.
Well, Balassi was absolutely superb.
It was a handful,
he
wasn't
he? Lost it.
Yeah. And you see Kushat give away again a regulation penalty when absolutely spare.
Do you see what I mean?
It was one, if I was the referee, I'd have gone, what are you moaning about?
Yeah.
You just pulled him down. There's no. Get on your line and try and save it.
Oh dear, oh dear.
And I'll tell you, Glenn Murray was really good as well. He's having a good season, Glenn.
Well, he played for Brighton, didn't he?
He did, yeah.
Another feisty point in that baffling derby.
Yeah.
Leicester City beat Derby, talking of derbies, 4-1. The Nuge got two. Leicester are up to third on 36 points.
Yeah, and Nugent and Whitehorn were the stand-up players.
Anthony Knockout as well, who later got arrested.
Did he? What for?
Over celebrating.
I'm not even sure. Something in a bar somewhere.
Taking his shirt off.
Yeah.
The Nuge scored two off the bench.
He did.
Absolute beauty.
It'd be nice to see the Nuge back in the Premier League.
Well, I will say one thing for the Nugent.
Could you?
I think that if he was to go, I mean, he's clearly happy at Leicester, which is not. He's not been happy at a club for a while.
He's not going to Portsmouth.
No, I'm not saying that. What I would say though is if he goes up into the Premier League with Leicester, it'll be the first time in his career. Don't forget. I mean, you know, people joke about him and stuff. He was really. Highly rated.
He was, yeah.
No, I rate him, but he was really highly rated back in the day. And if he goes into the Premier League at a club he's happy at, I reckon he could do some damage. I genuinely do, because if you look at some of the goals he scored this season, a few of them have been really genuine quality.
Well, I remember
you know?
A couple of the ones he scored in the Premier League, they were decent, you know.
Yeah, so
but you're right, he does strike you very much as a confidence type player.
Yeah. Well, he's got more experience now, though.
And he comes across as a nice guy, maybe that's it.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe the nice guys
You look at how, I mean, he's quite a small player, and you see the way he rose for that first header, it was a beautiful finish as well. And I think him and Glenn Murray and Charlie Austin, who I've seen play a few times actually, he scored goals at every level. Be interested to see what he could do in the Premier League. Mm. He's just rattling them in every week at the moment.
Maybe they'll go up then.
Yeah, well, who knows?
But Millwall, it's worth mentioning them. They drew 0-0 with Charlton, 13 games unbeaten. The last time they lost was on the 22nd of September. They're up in 7th.
Yeah, I saw them against Leeds. They were decent, actually.
They were. Good win.
Yeah. Leeds were unlucky to have a man sent off. But I tell you, he was an absolute monster, Danny Shittu.
Oh, yeah.
Good God.
Chimney, chim, chiroo. Who needs Sol Campbell when you've got Shitu?
There you go.
That's what they used to sing.
But it can't His surname's be... almost a dare, isn't it?
Yeah, I know, yeah. And you can't be, if you're a striker, you can't be done for diving if Danny Shitty makes you fall over just by looking at you. That's one thing I would say, because he is terrified.
Yeah, he's an absolute brute.
Yeah. But apparently, my friend, a friend of mine was at the Millwall Charlton game, said that he reported an absolute stinker.
Is that
nil,
right?
Nil, bore draw. He said the highlight of the game was seeing a couple of Millwall fans having a fight.
That's the highlight.
Gonna have something.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a guarantee. Now, there was an FA Cup fixture with two teams with interesting histories. Very brief. MK Dons 2, AFC Wimbledon 1.
Mm. I think we should just call them Milton Keynes, really.
Mm.
I think we should call them Dons.
No?
No, I don't like that.
Do you not?
Well, you know, we don't have that choice, do they?
No, I
suppose
not.
Was it a shame?
The controversy.
I think everybody wanted
that. I think everyone in the world.
I wanted Dons to, I wanted Wimbledon to win, but I have to concede that probably Milton Keynes were probably the better team on balance. Yeah. The winner
two
was
great
a beauty.
Goals.
Oh, the winner was a beauty, wasn't it? Yeah. So nonchalant.
I read something on one of the comment sections on the Guardian's match report about this.
That's your first mistake.
Yeah, I was completely unaware of, which was that I think Sam Haman and Ron Noakes bought Milton Keynes Football Club as they were ages and ages ago with the, like,
oh, they
with,
did, yeah.
With the, you know, the idea of perhaps moving
That's
Wimbledon
right.
there, and that never happened. So they just sort of let them die.
Yeah.
So, you know, Milton Keynes has a grudge as well. Against Wimbledon to start with. This isn't as straightforward as.
No, it was in the pipeline for a long time, that.
Mm. I like the chant from the Wimbledon fans, "Where were you when we were us?"
That's nice.
It's a weird one, isn't it? You've got to wonder where the Milton Keynes fans comes from, but because, you know, Milton Keynes FC would have, you know, had about what, 9 fans. They were a very, very small club.
Yeah, that's true.
And all 9 of them are about to email you in.
Yeah.
It wasn't the only cup that was being contested at the weekend. The Scottish Cup 4th round, they're cracking on over there.
Yeah. How's that been so far, Marcus?
Hibs beat Hearts 1-0. It's a shame, they've kicked them on the down. Hart said this week that they have settled a £450,000 tax bill.
Yeah,
so at the end of the day,
goal.
Well, and Hibs now can't beat Hearts in the final, which is what Hearts did to them.
Yeah. So Hearts still win.
So exactly.
You went here just for that fixture, then
jambo.
Two come out at once. Yeah.
What was the general feeling on the Gorgy Road?
I didn't even make a call.
No,
they don't need to hear me.
No,
my English accent.
Unless it's with 450,000 in your pocket,
that'll push him over the top.
Yeah.
Celtic drew again at home to Arbroath 1-1.
Neil Lennon's gone a bit doolally, saying that if they want me to go, I'll go.
Yeah, we were talking about that last week.
Saying that for a while.
A week after they
and
beat
they keep
Barca.
Saying they want him to go.
Well, go on then. All right, well I will then. Well, go on then.
Yeah. I just see him in a forest, like with our survival gear on, going, "I'll take yous all." Not in that accent. I keep on doing a Scottish accent.
Roy Keane just behind him.
I thought of Roy Keane as well.
Yeah,
true. St Mirren beat Brechin 2-0. I'm glad that Brechin are out, because Brechin put Bonnie Rig Rose out in the previous round.
Heinous footballing crime.
So they've been dealt with.
Yeah. Worse than Cantona on that man.
By the buddies, St Mirren. Excellent stuff. Rangers beat Elgin 3-0. The highlight of that game was the dancing Elgin fan who one or two people suggested looks like me.
If I were you, I'd just do that link again and say, the Elgin fan that was me.
Me, the Elgin fan.
Or the highlight of that game being me in the stands.
Elgin. Marcus Bell had lost his Elgin marbles.
Nice. Excellent.
That's Peter. Better than mine. I was just going to say, on a drug.
She was having the best time, and I think on a lot of the YouTube comments, I don't want to besmirch her, but apparently it said she was my school teacher, and then a couple of more people went, "Yeah, she was my school teacher as well."
Oh dear.
Brilliant.
I like the fact that the sort of thing I got from it was that the fact that the game was happening was just incidental. She'd have been there anyway.
Oh yeah,
she was on full gun, wasn't she?
Lovely
old job.
Elgin's the only place where I've watched the film Titanic.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
Should we go to Spain?
It's a great idea.
And leave you here.
Right then, let's go to the league where Real Madrid, they beat Atletico Madrid 2-0. We really thought this was the time.
The thing I love about it is Madrid, in winning, have just helped Barcelona.
Yeah.
Can't win.
That's an excellent point. It's been 13 years or something since Atletico Madrid beat Real Madrid. In the league or at the Bernabeu?
Well, basically, Mourinho should have never poked Tito Villanova in the eye after that Clásico, because it's just sent him mental on revenge.
Well, and it's a despicable thing to do.
Oh, yeah, because he said that anyway. Yeah.
And it might not have influenced Andy Carroll to do the same thing to that photographer.
That poor paparazzi.
Yeah. Hell hath no fury like a Villanova scorned.
Well, Mourinho, there's big, big, big reports in Spain with very few
big
quotes
player.
that Mourinho will not be in charge for next season.
The only quotes are from Jose saying that's bollocks, aren't they?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
But it's made, let's ignore those.
It's made all the websites, Jim.
all of them. All the websites have made it.
Yeah. From Bleacher Report to Bleacher Report. Real high quality stuff.
It's not on the footballround.com at the moment, but I'll get on that for tomorrow.
Have you could. Yeah. Bloody hell.
Sorry, I've missed
I thought
now.
We were into breaking news. That's definitely true. Yeah, Mourinho said in that ITV4 programme the other night, he said, I hope I can win the Champions League with an English club again.
Basically, what seems to have happened is there was a documentary on ITV4 about Mourinho.
There was.
Which I watched, and it was actually quite enjoyable.
It was, wasn't it?
Some good talking heads, some good people on there.
Well, he's very handsome when he was young. I mean, he's still handsome now, yeah. But...
In it's a good kind to see of a, Sir Bob in there.
Very good to see Sir Bob. Staying on the handsome thing, when he was younger, could have formed a Wham tribute.
Yeah, he looks a bit like Ridgely.
You know
what
I mean?
A bit of Ridgely about him.
Ridgely and George Michael.
Yeah, well, put together.
I don't want to go down that road. Anyway, as you were saying.
Well, I was just going to say that, and towards the end, there was a, for people who didn't see it, there was a little interview thing with Alex Ferguson here, and the question was, could he, you know, would he be next to, could he manage at United?
Yeah.
And Ferguson said he can manage anywhere. You know, he could, I'm confident he could be successful wherever he went. There's
That's
no
true.
Question about that. And I'm not going to be around forever. But he wasn't really implying that Mourinho was going to go to United. And straight away,
he's almost just, you know, giving his approval of it.
Yeah,
as he
yeah.
does in every time this comes up.
Of course. And then the papers next day, Mourinho to United. Yeah. They really ran with it.
Ferguson didn't comment on the Eric Cantona quote
no.
when he said
disrespectful. Cantona's done more for United than Jose Mourinho ever has.
It's because Alex Ferguson's worried.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He's looking at that thinking, oh, he could top my legacy.
Is he using the Jose Mourinho smokescreen?
I think so.
Yeah, I do.
I think it's. It must be the truth. Elsewhere in Spain, Barcelona beat Athletic Bilbao 5-1. Bilbao, oh dear, oh dear.
And Llorente's just announced he's definitely not signing a new contract and he'll be off.
I tell you what, Bilza, he just knackers teams, doesn't he?
Yeah, he must do. They must be just so tough. Well, they lost Martinez.
But he said that Bilza did say if footballers were robots, then, you know, I'd be top of the league or something like that, because he just hammers them so much with the pressing games and all that.
They're making their own decisions, and making their own decisions basically hampers.
Well, no, I think fitness and that kind of stuff as well, because they press so much and it's just, you just can't do it. So,
but also when Bilbao, I don't know this historically, I don't know enough about it, but when they're struggling, to me it just seems like common sense that because of their policy of the players they'll have playing for them, they can't just dip in the transfer market with impunity like other teams can. And because I read that Bielsa identified a couple of targets and they weren't signed, and one wasn't signed for one reason, but the other one wasn't signed because this guy wasn't Basque.
Right.
So they refused that hound to get him.
But they've always done okay, though.
Yeah, they have always done. But what I'm saying is, if you couple that with the sort of natural inertia you're going to get after having such a sort of, not successful, but a good season last season with two cup finals and stuff like that, you lose your best player probably in Martinez.
Yeah.
Your best striker, who scored almost 30 goals last season, has got two, I think, in all competitions this season, and can't get a start for them. They can't then in January go and sign some players because they've got to bring players through. They've got to sign Basque players.
And the trouble is, if they did start signing players who weren't Basque, then the fans would chant, "We want our Basque players back," wouldn't they?
So
that's the last thing we want. Yeah. Real Betis beat Deportivo 3-2 away, and the reason why I'm talking about that, it was a great goal to win it from Joel Campbell, who's on loan from Arsenal to
and it
Betis.
Was a beauty as well.
It was an absolute belter,
you must be looking forward to that, Jim. He'll be turning
that
up.
Goal
yeah.
He will never do that for Arsenal.
No.
Because they're not allowed to shoot from distance.
They'll never get a work permit. He'll have to shoot from another country because he can't get a work permit.
So that's probably what that was. It was actually a very, very poor effort.
Yeah. Catching the top corner. Oh, the Ballon d'Or shortlist is out now. Andres Iniesta, Lionel Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo. But as if you didn't know.
I mean, it would be four in a row for Messi, but it's got to be, right?
Zlatan, I'd love to see Iniesta get it, wouldn't you?
Messi's the best player.
Yeah,
so,
fair enough.
Zlatan's washed his hands of it. He said, "Come on, if it's fair, it should go to someone else." Is that how it works?
If the Ballon d'Or was a robot, I'd win it.
By someone else, I do mean me.
Get him in there. Get him in there. Right, let's get the hell out of Europe and go to Brazil. Big Phil Scolari's been appointed head coach of Brazil. We thought that would happen. And he immediately said, "We have an obligation to win the World Cup."
You can't really say anything else when you're announced as Brazil manager, can you? Especially when the World Cup's going to be at home.
And I'll tell you what, they're bringing out the big boys.
Imagine that. Press conference. Big Scolari's unveiled. He's already won it. What do you think of the World Cup, Big Phil? Quarter final? I'm hoping for a quarter final.
Would you be happy with
anything
last four?
Anything past that's a dream.
Yeah, that's messy on the draw.
Yeah. As long as we're on a podium, as long as we're amongst the medals, that's absolutely fine. They're bringing out the big boys. Big Phil Scolari and Carlos Alberto Pereira has been appointed as team director. I quite like what you said. It's an honour to take part in my fifth World Cup. That's not something everyone can achieve.
No.
All right.
Take that, humanity.
And humility.
Take that, uncapped.
What's Romario been saying? He's been piping up.
Romario, he's pleased. He's really pleased that Menezes has gone. He said, "Thank God these incompetents at the CBF hit at least once." Brain cells together, I'd imagine. I'm sure that the wrong things that happened under Menezes will cease to happen. Well, he's not in the job anymore. They will summon the best players at the moment.
I reckon he phoned that interview from outside Menezes' house, where he was just sticking his fingers up at him.
I think he gets his past and future and present tenses all mixed up there.
How long do we give it before he turns on Big Phil?
Yeah. Well, if they don't win that friendly against England, they've got.
I was going to say, I'd say the half time.
Yeah,
they're going to win. They're going to win that friendly.
Yeah, that's true.
That's absolutely true. I couldn't be more sure of anything in my life.
Well, Brazil are trying to get England involved in another friendly of sorts. The mayor of Belo Horizonte.
They really need a confidence boost in that. Can we play you and then can we play you again?
Can we play you?
Big Phil's unveiled the friendly schedule at his press conference. England at home. England at home. England at home. England at home. England B at home.
Yeah, World Cup final against Argentina, excluding European players.
Romario on top. I'll have a few. I'll bag a few more.
Yeah. Well, actually, it's not an England versus Brazil friendly that the mayor of Belo Horizonte is trying to organise. He's invited England and the United States the United States to stage a rematch of one of the greatest upsets in World Cup history, when of course the US beat England 1-0 during the 1950 World Cup, which was the last time and the only time it was in Brazil. And the mayor of Belo Horizonte said, "I am hopeful the match can take place, and although we know there are problems we have to overcome first, it would be ideal if we could stage the match next year."
Just because he wants to do it.
I love that. It would be like, come on, play in Belo Horizonte. I know there's things to sort out, but it would be ideal if it could happen next year.
The guy with the FA is like, "Sorry, who is this?" The good thing being, it would be an upset if England actually won that one. The reverse result.
Wouldn't that be amazing if they went there? It would never happen. But I just love this guy's positive attitude.
The players on the way, I don't know why we're doing this. I don't know why it's happening.
Like Fever just sent back a copy of their game. Do it on that.
Yeah.
It's easy. A couple of key presses, it's done.
There you go. Right. Before we go to Pete's game, we've got to go to the MLS, where LA Galaxy beat Houston Dynamo 3-1. And Robbie Keane got the third from the spot.
Yeah, but they didn't give him the penalty. Didn't give David Beckham the penalty. I thought
he was off the pitch though. I think for the last
one. No, he wasn't. He was on the pitch, as I recall.
Was he?
Yeah,
Pete's got an LA Galaxy right squad scar, so he should.
I was watching it. I was watching it live.
Live.
While I was at work.
He got shot by that policeman when he was out there, as I remember.
Read that in the Sun. Yeah.
Yeah.
Lovely ending for D-Beck.
Oh yeah.
Oh, definitely. It's a lovely little ending.
Yeah.
And the other lovely bit where I think the LA Galaxy, was it the Home Depot Arena? They've got that lovely sort of like mound thing, that green sort of grassy knoll sort of thing, and they allow people for the finale. They sort of allow people to climb on there, have a little bit of a picnic.
That's nice.
It's lovely.
I really like the chant, David Beckham, like the full name.
Yeah, good.
The chants are mental out there. A lot of them is Seven Nation Army. They love that.
But Europe loves that as well. The championship.
Europe loves Sloop John B, and that's about it. Where to go home? Where to go home? All that in there over and over again.
Dear, oh dear. Right.
See the girl. I can't say that guy's name. Bigorama, who scored for. His chant, which I hadn't heard, was he's big. He's bad to your ears, his dad, Gail. It's lovely.
Good.
I love it because they have similar hair.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Pete.
Hey, let's have a game from me. Let's just get my phone up. There we go. Right, Prescience, please, for an advert.
Good news, Ramblers. We have a betting partner. And our betting partner, William Hill, are offering to match any sporting bet from £10 to £25 when you, a listener to the Football Ramble, open a new William Hill sports account. Go to thefootballramble.com/William Hill to find out more and claim your free bet now.
Here's my game, Marcus Fella. I forgot to do the advert a bit, so I did it for you.
Thank you.
Glad to see someone who's a professional and off his face on day nurse. Get ready for Challenge a Nicky Barmby.
What's that?
that?
Challenge Annika. Yeah. It's not one of his best ones.
Challenger Nelka.
He's running out.
Challenger Nelka is definitely much better.
Come on, dick, Marcus Speller.
No, I won't.
You've been warned.
Challenger Nelka or challenge a Nicky Barnby?
Challenger Nicky Barnby.
All right, it's his thing.
You can't change it.
Yeah.
Now he's unprofessional.
Right. I started my career at Mould.
Stop. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
No.
Stop. John Jensen.
No. I won the Kniksen Award for being brilliant.
Stop. Torre Andre Flo.
No.
That's who I was going
to. I just hand went up to celebrate.
Stop. Jan Mulby.
No. Stop running through the players.
Stop showing players that aren't Norwegian.
So we've had Stop. Henningberg, I think.
I was a member of the Spice Boys.
Stop. Torben Picnic.
Jesus Christ.
Is it?
No.
Oh.
I retired aged 37.
Stig Bjørneby.
Right, no. Right. Oh. You're all rubbish. I retired 37 after helping secure Stromsgodset IF promotion to Tippeligaen.
So it's another Norwegian league. So it's got to be a Norwegian player, surely.
Balls. Could be a curveball. Mm. Stop. Steve McManaman.
I was part of the 94 and 96 World Cup squads.
96 World Cup squad? You 90, maniac.
98.
Sorry. Sorry, 94 and 98.
Because if there was a World Cup in 96,
I told you I was off my face on Dana. Yeah.
Okay.
He's got us, hasn't he?
Come on.
Sorry. One last clue. In my home country, a Leo Run is named after me. A Leo Run.
What's a Leo Run?
Running all good on that.
Oyvind Leonardsen?
Oyvind.
Ah, yes, Jimmy! Get in there!
You went through most of them, for crying out loud.
Yeah, good work.
Good.
I forgot about it. He's one of those players I completely forgot the existence of.
You forget he was at Liverpool, I think, for some reason.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I
had him as Wimbledon, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I always forget Attilio Lombardo as well, because he was at Palace, which even now seems mental.
Yeah. He was caretaker manager at Palace for a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Imagine him just sitting on the bench thinking, how has this happened?
I'm like a young Jim Smith. And I look like one as well.
Maybe he hates Attilio Lombardo. Should we have some correspondence, Luke?
Yes, this week we asked Twitter and Facebook, where would you like to see D-Beck, that's David Beckham, go next, and why?
Yeah, you thought we brushed over it, didn't you, listeners?
Yeah, we didn't.
Bring it back.
We've thrown it over to you instead.
I was like him kissing my face.
So actually, one thing I found from putting this question out there on the internet is that there are quite a few people that don't like David Beckham.
I thought you were going to say, Sven follows us.
No, I sort of thought that he was over a little bit. I thought that he would... he's won everyone over, everyone likes him now. I know he had his problems in the past. Yeah. Anyway, so the first answer from David Sanderson was
his fuck off.
I'd like him to be dead. No, isn't really.
He was talking about you though, Luke.
Yeah. But he does say, I'd like him to be Freddie Flintoff's next opponent. Topical.
Oof.
Yeah. Mm. Simon Biankowski says Newcastle because it'll be funny when they say his name. Do it in a Newcastle accent.
David Beckham.
Is that funny?
Not that funny.
You be the judge. Rob Keeling says that he'd like to see him go to the magnificent Gorgi boys.
Yeah, well, I've all agreed there.
How would you feel about that, Marcus?
As long as he pays the club to play rather than
he pays their tax bill.
Yeah.
What's he getting out of that? It's the beautiful bit, David, right? You pay the SPL, all that stuff, yeah, but you pay our tax bill as well.
Club saviour. I've been league saviour. Yeah. Yeah.
He wins the hearts and minds of the maroon half of Old Reeky.
I
was about to say, and a price tag hasn't been put on it, but it bloody well has.
Yeah. Award for stretch of the week is from Joe Asbridge, who says, I'd like to see him retire by the QE2, move into a cabin on B deck, and then he can forever be known as D Beck on B deck.
That's good.
That's good. I like that one.
Yeah. Liam McConville, speaking, I think this email should have gone directly to your email address, Marcus, says, I'd like him to set up a new MLS or A League franchise with Trevor Sinclair, Danny Mills, Emil Heskey, Big Sol, Michael Owen, and to be managed by the one and only Sven. Let's party like it's 2002.
Can people stop going on about Sven?
Right, two more. Someone, Anton McCafferty, rather confused, just says, somewhere anywhere that would appreciate his sweet buns? Question mark.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
He's answered a question with a question.
Yeah, yeah, that's rude. And Gloucester City, non-league Gloucester City tweeted us saying, we wouldn't mind him coming over to us as cover because Lewis Hogg is serving a four-match suspension.
Hoggy! Yeah. Fucking Hoggy again!
Yeah, yeah, you can't be trusted. Thank you, Gloucester City. Yeah, but more of that next week on a different topic.
On a different one. Right, ladies and gentlemen, it's profile time. And we have a grey-haired beauty coming into the Dean Windass Hall of Fame.
Lewis Hogg. Okay.
No, that's a not a balding smoothie. A grey-haired beauty.
Okay,
and it's Fabrizio Ravanelli.
Oh.
It's big time.
Yeah.
The grey eagle? I forget, to be honest.
The white feather.
The white feather.
Silver,
right,
silver fox, all that kind of crap.
Definitely the white feather.
Okay.
Yeah. What? For some reason, I was sure that he was in. But he's not. I checked.
White feather.
There's the bell.
Right, out. Begin. He was born on December the 11th, 1968.
18 months after the Summer of Love.
Ooh,
he was born in Perugia, home of the Euro Chocolate Festival, Europe's premier chocolate festival.
There are other chocolate festivals available.
You look like a man who knows where the chocolate festivals are.
Thank you very much. Where do you think I was last week?
He is from Peru. Perugia. I think it's a Peru.
Yeah.
Dear, oh dear. One of the earlier marquee signings in the history of the Premier League.
Certainly Italian. There weren't that many Italians, were there?
That's very true. But he was, wasn't he? But more on that.
Great.
More on that in a bit. He is from Perugia. He started his career there. Made his debut in his late teens. Scored quite a few goals for them. Perugia was struggling at the time. It's an interesting recent history of that club, because they kind of sort of ceased to exist and then they tried to reinvent themselves and they're down in the doldrums, but they'd just been relegated to Serie C 2 after a scandal, and he was there for 3 years and got himself a move to Avellino, who were in Serie B at the time. He didn't stay too long, was soon off to Casertana, back down to Serie C 1. He impressed there, got himself a move to Reggiana, back up to Serie B.
So to make your hair turn grey, isn't it? All this moving.
This is the reason.
You're right, Fab. Oh, I just don't know where my next paycheck's coming from. The thing is, annoying thing is, I'm really good.
Yeah, he was there 2 years scoring goals and putting in decent performances. Then in 1992, when he was 24, he was signed by Juventus in Serie A.
Now we can all get on board.
For £3 million. So I didn't realise that about Ravanelli, that he went round the lower leagues, and it wasn't until he was 24 that he got the nod from Juventus, which is quite incredible, really, because he was knocking around the lower leagues, as I say. And Juve had finished runners up to Milan in the title run in. Went in for him for £3 million when he was a league below them, which is a pretty bold move considering at the time the other forwards knocking around the league were Van Basten, Roberto Baggio, who was at Juve, Careca, Zola, Signori, Thomas Schiravi, Gianluca Vialli.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
For a team who finished second, who were really wanting to mount a challenge on Milan, who were great.
But history's proved them to be correct.
Hasn't it just?
Yeah.
Hasn't it just? Well, allow me.
Yeah.
In his first full season at Juventus, they finished fourth, but they won the UEFA Cup, beating Dortmund over two legs. He was an unused sub for the final, but with a front two of Roberto Baggio and Gianluca Vialli.
And it shows you the strength of the UEFA Cup at the time. So the final was that Juventus side against that Dortmund side.
Yeah.
Yeah. Andres Müller behind the front
two. Yeah.
It shows you also, one thing you will also learn is how the strength of Italian forwards there were around that time as well.
Di Canio was on the bench as well.
He never played for Italy, Di Canio.
No.
The amount of strikers that Italy had who've got genuine quality strikers who've got
Sometimes you went through there as well, like Signori, Baggio.
Yeah. Zola, Chiesa, Casiraghi.
Yeah.
You know, Mancini a bit before that, you know. Mm. Amazing, really.
Absolutely ridiculous. Mm. But so for him to come through and shine at Juventus, who in the mid-90s you could make an argument with the best side in Europe. Well, not an argument, they won the bloody Champions League. But they got to
EPO.
So the following season Juventus finished second, and then in 94-95 season they won the league with Ravanelli playing his part. Got 15 league goals. Juve also won the Coppa Italia that year. And that was his penultimate season at the club.
Stepping stone. Wasn't it? He's got his eye on the prize.
Damn right. I mean, he really became one of their biggest assets in his last two seasons. Scored 53 goals his last two seasons for Juventus.
It was a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to James Richardson?
Yeah.
Mm. Never see that guy.
Yeah, we know before you email in. He's doing some fine work. So
Ravinelli scored like so many different types of goals.
He did.
Loved the header.
Yeah,
he smashed one from outside the area.
A lefty.
Yeah, excellent.
Now it's so interesting to think that he'd gone through the lower leagues and he'd waited his turn. And even when he went to Juventus, he was again maybe largely on the bench earlier on in his career there. And now he was delivering for one of the biggest sides and best teams in the world. And it was during his final year at Juventus that he got his first call up to the national side in 1995. He didn't play that much for Italy, only 22 caps and 8 goals.
Yeah, it's like a 4-year international career in total, and played, was he not in the squad for...
Not World Cup 98, was overlooked.
In 96, I think he was in the squad for Euro 96,
he
was, and that was
squad,
it.
Yeah.
And that was it.
But it's incredible because we all remember Ravinelli and what a brilliant player he was.
Yeah. He's so solid.
But there's so much more to the career than what meets the eye. So back at Juve, they would prove that they were the best side in Europe by winning the Champions League in 1996. They'd sold Roberto Baggio the previous summer in 95, so Ravinelli had a bigger part to play, and my goodness, did he just do that. During that Champions League campaign, great performances, fair share of goals. He was one of those players where you'd watch the Champions League highlights, which were once every 2 weeks back then. It wasn't quite as plentiful as it was. And every time Juve came on, he was tormenting defences.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I remember having a pretty good group stage in that tournament.
Yeah.
And then he scored, obviously, the most acute angled goal in Champions League final history.
Juve were one of those teams back then that would, you know, if you were ever going to be the sort of person that loved European football, they were one of those sides that would inspire that.
Absolutely.
You know, one of the absolutely just great European sides. And they, you know, it's quite a rare time in their history really back then, because they don't have much European pedigree. They've only won it twice, which for a club of that size is unusual. And he was a real kind of focal point of one of the best teams they've ever had.
Oh, massively.
People our age will sort of remember like Juventus as being like the European force, and it's kind of like nowadays they're not quite that really.
Sure. I mean, I think they got three finals, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. Yeah,
and they only won one of them though. But he was in that side.
Well, Lippi took them to a few finals, I think. But they had Vialli and Del Piero.
Well, they had a front three against Ajax in the final of Del Piero, Vialli, and Ravinelli. Amazing, that only ended one all.
And that Ajax side obviously were defending the title as well, weren't they?
So, well, they were fantastic. They won on penalties. Juventus did, yeah. And we mustn't forget that this was the guy as well who we'd see on the European highlights and all, with that famous celebration, which is now so commonplace.
Yeah.
Well, and not so much now, because you get booked for it. Yeah. FIFA brought in a rule because of him.
Yeah. That stupid dancing one, right?
Not quite.
No.
It's
the chicken.
It is the chicken. Yeah. And that's not a stupid dance, Jim.
And he passed the baton on to Kevin Nolan when he
retired. But it's so funny, wasn't it? Flipping his jersey over his head and running around. Like, it's such a simple thing, but he was like the guy.
Yeah.
Remember that? Which football team have got, like, sponsored by the Burger King? And they've got, like, the Burger King.
Getafe,
yeah. They're printing on the other side, so if you actually do that, you become the Burger King.
That's
briefly.
It.
Nobody's
so very,
done it yet.
No. Very sad, isn't it?
It really is.
But that celebration is so iconic, isn't it?
Because I was thinking
it's so like, simple.
Because
so
before
simple.
That, I was thinking there were certain things that couldn't be commercialised, and I was wrong.
Again. Yeah. That game in the Champions League final against Ajax, where he was on top of the Europes, was his last game for the club. He just won the European Champions League with Juventus. Where would he end up next?
He thought,
how can I top this?
I've earned myself a big move here. No one would begrudge me.
And to the northeast of England he went, and Middlesbrough.
Do you remember that? Do you remember
the BT cell?
It happened.
Yeah.
Hat-trick on his debut, to
I
be
know.
Fair.
It's against Liverpool. Yeah. But as Jim says, you know, when it was like, oh yeah, Middlesbrough have signed Ravinelli. Yeah, all right. Yeah. It's one of those ones. Show me the quotes.
Yeah.
Oh, bloody hell.
Yeah. Show me a picture of him wearing the shirt.
next to Brian Robson.
Was it 7 or 8 million?
Seven.
7 million.
7 mil. Immediately started scoring goals, as you say, hat-trick against Liverpool on his debut, and it was great to see this guy who was so good for Juventus doing that celebration in England, you know. And that's what I mean, you know, when he was one of the earlier marquee signings in the history of the Premiership, for my money anyway.
That's some good results I've seen in Middlesbrough. They were only relegated because of that 3-point deduction, weren't they? But
they could have had that many results. It was 3 points, but I'll tell you.
Because they were just woefully inconsistent.
They got to two cup finals.
Yeah, and they beat Everton home and away. They beat Coventry 4-0. They beat Derby 6-1.
Yeah.
They drew with Liverpool and Man United.
I mean, they really. Yes, it was a 3-point deduction, but they were better than that.
Yeah, absolutely.
They really
and,
were.
And the 3-point deduction for people who are either too young, scarily, to remember, or don't remember, is because they refused to fulfil a fixture against Blackburn Rovers because they said a load of their players were injured or ill. and the FA refused them, or the Premier League, whoever it was, refused them and fined them 3 points, and they ended up getting relegated by 2 points, I think.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. And they got to the League Cup final and the FA Cup final.
Yeah. He got 31 goals in League and Cup games that year for Borough, which is incredible.
And didn't he leave just after the start of the following season?
He did, yeah. I mean, again, only, what, less than 18 months after winning the Champions League, there he was in the old Division 1.
Yeah, that's nuts.
So dreams can come true.
He thought, sod this, so he left for Marseille.
Back when the Italian English Cup actually still existed.
Oh, the Anglo Italian.
Oh, I've seen a few of those games.
I remember the Anglo Italian Cup for some reason.
Marseille was runner up in the UEFA Cup and the league in 99. He scored a few goals there, but after a poor start in the year 2000, he went back to Italy with Lazio.
And he wasn't that good at Lazio, was he?
I mean, he played a fair bit, but I mean, they won the league for only the second time in their history, and they also won the Coppa Italia.
I don't think he scored many goals, though.
No, but it's funny. And then after that, he went to back to England to play for Derby County. But it's so strange how, you know, he goes from the lower leagues to Juventus, right the highs, and then Middlesbrough, gets relegated, then goes to Marseille, finishes runner up, and you know, had a far better side,
incredible,
obviously.
Sort of, you know, and then yeah.
But then Marseille, they don't do so well. He goes to Lazio, wins the league there. Then he's back at Derby County. It's really up and down stuff. Yeah.
Him looking at that pattern of his career, how's he thinking? Yeah, I've got a Derby now.
Yeah,
that's going to end this run.
And they got relegated as well when he was there.
From memory, I don't have the facts to hand, but from memory, he didn't score many goals for Lazio. I don't think he was a big player for them.
No,
in that season.
He wasn't. But he's, you know,
I mean, don't take it away from him. Yeah. I literally can't.
Looking at a bar graph of success, it's like Juninho, him.
Yeah,
up down.
Yeah.
Doesn't work. So he did.
Never stopped you before.
can we put Emerson in next week? Shut up, everyone.
He did hang around the old English First Division for a bit before leaving Derby County, and then went to Dundee in Bonnie, Scotland, played a handful of games there, and left to go all the way back to the start, his beloved Perugia in 2004. Couldn't help them from being relegated as the club struggled on and off the field, and he hung up his boots in 2005.
I think I'm right in saying that he only ever started one big tournament game for Italy. When you think of, and I think it was against Czech Republic in Euro 96, and when you think of the name and the reputation of the player,
absolutely,
you imagine him to have really achieved a lot more than that.
Yeah, I think eight goals in 22 appearances for Italy. But it's
decent.
Yeah, but it's such a strange career, because you think Ravanelli, you think Juventus, you think you know, being brilliant for Middlesbrough as well. But there's so much more.
But one of the showpiece foreigners to grace the Premier League, I'd say.
Oh, definitely.
In that one season, he shone briefly, but very brightly.
And he'll always be in our hearts and minds for that celebration. Alone, and then he comes to the Dean Windass Hall of Fame.
I just remember, like, him and Viali's just sort of thinking, they don't look like young men. They don't look like men under 30.
Viali's one of those people like Bruce Forsyth. He was just born at like 40 years old.
Yeah, that's very true.
He looks so odd with his curly hair. He was young. It doesn't suit him.
That is the end of the show, ladies and gentlemen, for this week. If you want to get in touch, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com. Twitter is @footballramble, and the website is thefootballramble.com.
Yes, and don't forget the Football Ramble Christmas drinks on the Saturday the 15th of December at the King's Arms in London. Get involved. All the details online, thefootballramble.com and facebook.com/footballramble.
Get involved. There we go. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye, Jim.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me. See you next time, gang.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.